Our reading will begin in the Gospel of John in chapter 1 at verse 15. Again, our study this morning, his testimony of him, and that is John the Baptist, testimony of Jesus Christ. And in this reading, beginning in the 15th verse, the Scripture says, John bare witness of him, that is of Jesus, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And John answered, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, After me comes a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. We're going to look at a couple of other scriptures in the Gospel of John in just a moment. But I want you to notice the language that John uses here as he speaks about Jesus. We're familiar that as John was baptizing in the River Jordan, and I've related to you before, John was baptizing in the River Jordan down in the lower river valley, down not far from Jericho, close to the Dead Sea. And it was there that Jesus went to him. And we have that record in Matthew where Jesus comes to him and John refuses to baptize him. And yet Jesus says, Suffer it to be so, for thus it becomes righteousness that we should do this. And so then John suffered him, or Jesus required him to do it. And so John did baptize Jesus there in the River Jordan. And it says, as he came up out of the water, that they saw the Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now in this scripture reading here in John, as we're reading, John the Baptist is giving his testimony about Jesus and saying the things that he knew particularly indicated that Jesus was the Messiah, that this was the Christ of God. Now as we're reading this, remember that this gospel is written by John the Apostle, And then we have John the Baptist as a separate individual. And it is John the Baptist who is making these statements about Jesus of Nazareth, making it about Jesus Christ. And John the Apostle is recording this. So John is testifying to us and telling us about the witness that John the Baptist had of Jesus. And in doing so, John uses the language here that appears only in the Gospel of John and in the book of Revelation. And that is that John attributes to John the Baptist the title of Jesus as the Lamb of God. And it appears twice here in this first chapter. Now notice whenever we look in the 29th verse, it says that the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him. And perhaps this is the day in which he came to be baptized of John. This would be the scene unfolding there in Matthew. And that as Jesus is approaching him, John declares unto him, "Behold the Lamb of God." And John is attributing to the full measure of the fact that Jesus as Messiah and Jesus as Christ and Jesus as our Savior and Redeemer is the embodiment of all of those lamb and goat kid sacrifices made throughout all the generations that is rolled up here. And it's John the Baptist that gives Jesus that title. Then we go over into the book of Hebrews. And we can go into the 9th chapter and then in the 10th chapter and the 12th chapter. And it tells us that we know that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And so we know that blood has to be shed for sins to be remitted, for sins to be forgiven. And we find out that it says that it was the ashes of a heifer and the blood of a goat or the blood of a kid or the blood of a lamb. If they could have satisfied the righteousness of God, then it wouldn't have been necessary for Christ to come. But it says, as the earthly things are purified with the earthly things, the heavenly things require something much greater. And the heavenly things required Christ Himself, required God the Son to be made flesh and to come and to dwell among us, as John records here in the same first chapter. And then John the Baptist ties the knot. He connects the ends for us, if you will. And he is the one who then speaks that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one sacrifice to purify the heavenly things and once and only once to satisfy the full measure of God's righteousness. So he says it plainly here in verse 29. As Jesus is coming to him to be baptized, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And then we find a little later, over in verse 35, it says, "The next day, John and two of his disciples observed Jesus walking by." If we put the timeline all together, remember that after Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan, he then goes into the Wadi Wilderness. He goes up into the eastern slopes of the Judean Mountains, and there, 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, and it says that he was tempted of the devil. And the greatest narrative of that for us is found over in the writing of Luke. But as Jesus has been baptized, in my own mind I just imagine that John has baptized Jesus and Jesus has resided there close to Jericho in the evening, and then this is the next day that Jesus is leaving and perhaps ascending up into the wilderness. He is going into that beginning period of the 40 days of fasting and that period of time of temptation of Satan. And as he's walking by, as they see him perhaps leaving and ascending up into the mountains, John speaks to his disciples and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And it's the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. It's the beginning of the time now that Jesus will begin to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. And he will begin to do his labors in our stead as the Messiah and as the priest. He has yet to gather together his disciples. But he is beginning that public period of his testimony and the public period of his declaration of the gospel of the good news news that salvation is nigh at hand. And John looks at that, and again he pronounces him. As John, Jesus is coming to John to be baptized, John calls him the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The next day, as Jesus is departing to go into the wilderness, John says to him, "There goes the Lamb of God." And it says immediately, the two disciples heard him, and they observed Jesus, and they followed after him. They went after him as disciples. Now notice John's own testimony. If we look back a little bit in the earlier, we find that it says in verse 30, that as Jesus is coming to him to be baptized, John has declared him to be the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. And in verse 30, John says, "This is he of whom I have said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record. And this is John's testimony. We know that Matthew talks about the dove, the Holy Ghost, appearing in the form of a dove and lighting upon Jesus as he came up out of the waters of baptism. And John himself says that God told him to look for that sign. You know, John had baptized an unknown number of people. It says multitudes of people came from all around Jerusalem and throughout Judea and all over in Perea on the other side of the Jordan River. From areas all around, people came to John the Baptist to be baptized, confessing their sins. And John was a popular figure, so much so that there were many who claimed they thought he was the Christ. And yet he said, "No, it is not me. I am not the Christ. I am merely the one Isaiah was talking about as a forerunner. I am merely making a way for the Lord. There is one that comes after me who is before me. There is one that comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to loosen." And he said, yet God had told him that of all the multitude, the thousands upon thousands who John had baptized in the River Jordan, he said, "The one whom you see, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, descending and resting upon him," he said, "that's the one." And so John was looking for a sign. John was anxious and knowing that as he continued in his ministry to baptize in the remission of sins and people confessing their sins, that he was looking for that one. And he himself says in verse 32, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water." In other words, John is confessing that his ministry, his work of baptism, his declaration of the kingdom of God was all an unction from God himself. That was John's calling in the ministry, if you will. And John acknowledges that he was called by God to do these things. And he says, "Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." And so John was very clear. I think John is a remarkable servant of God and a remarkable character to us in the Scriptures. That while he had all of these accolades and he had all of this attention and he was revered among the people, yet John remained steadfastly humble in his service to God and steadfastly focused upon Jesus himself. Notice earlier in this writing in chapter 1 that we read, it says in verse 19, "The Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem and asked him, 'Who art thou?' And he declared and said, 'I am not the Christ.' And they said, 'Well, who are you then? Are you Elias? Are you a prophet?' He says, 'No.' And they said, 'Well, who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us?'" In verse 22, "What sayest thou of thyself?" And in verse 23, John says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah had said." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And then they asked him that question. If you are not the Christ, and if you are not Elias, and if you are not a prophet, then why do you baptize? You know, that's a remarkable thing to me that they would ask that question. As we have studied, and through the years I have tried to preach repeatedly about all of the things about Jesus, the prophecies and all of the signs, and we wonder when he was born about why the Jews were not attentive to what was going on in Bethlehem. They were not really focused on it at all. And then on that day, whenever Jesus made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and it was clearly spoken in the prophet Jeremiah about the Savior, your King shall come lowly, riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And as he made that entry on that day, his so-called triumphal entry into the Passion Week, when he makes that entry into Jerusalem, it makes you wonder why people didn't take notice. Why didn't somebody recognize the signs? They were just plain and obvious. This is a case where the signs are recognized. John the Baptist certainly did. John the Baptist was called of God to preach the coming of Christ and to do the baptism of water, the baptism of repentance. And John did that faithfully, and the Spirit had given him an understanding about what to look for in the signs. And when the signs appeared, when that dove appeared as it did, John recognized that, saw it for what it was. And yet here are these others asking, well, if you're not the Christ, why are you baptizing? And that's why John tells us, there is one that comes after me that is preferred before me. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He'll have a power and an authority that I don't have. I'm just out here in the woods doing my strange thing. Remember it said that he wore camel's hair for clothing, and ate locust and honey for his sustenance. And John the Baptist was a wild man. He lived in the wilderness. Jesus himself testified about John the Baptist back over in Matthew. Asked them, he asked the Pharisees and asked the scribes and others, what did you go out to see? When you went to look for John the Baptist, what did you think you were going to find? Those that are dressed in comfortable and soft raiment live in king's houses. That's where Jesus said, you went out and you found one that was a reed that was not shaken in the wind. He was bedrock solid in his convictions about who Christ was and about the ministry that God had given him. John the Baptist was a rough man. He wasn't polished. He wasn't educated. He wasn't wearing comfortable and fine fancy clothes. He sort of reminded me, he was out in the deserts, living in the river valley, but he reminded me sort of a mountain man. And he was rough-hewn, and he spoke roughly to them, and he spoke roughly to the kings in all of their sin and their iniquity. When they asked him, what do you say for yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, just as the prophet Isaiah had testified. If you remember back over in Luke, and look with me there very quickly, if you will, in Luke chapter 1, that the birth of John the Baptist is another one of the miracles that is spoken to us in Scripture. Remember, his mother Elizabeth was past childbearing years. Zacharias and Elizabeth were up in years. Notice in Luke chapter 1, let's look there at verse 76. John the Baptist having been born, Zacharias his father, a priest of the temple in Jerusalem, says of him in verse 76, and thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. It's remarkable that John was never reared within the cities. John was not a sophisticated city dweller. From the days he was born, he lived in the deserts and in the wilderness. And he was close to God. And God filled him with the Spirit and filled him with conviction. We find again whenever he says there's one that comes after me that is preferred before me. He says, the one, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to loosen. We find that whenever he speaks about that, John is saying that he's not even fit to be the lowest servant Christ. The idea that John says, I'm not worthy to loosen the latchet of his shoes, notice that in verse 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes, latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose. I'll remind you of the custom of the time that as many people went barefooted or they went with what we would consider sandals or something like that, they had very few opportunities of closed shoes like we do, and people would walk around in that dirt and whatnot when they came to a residence or when they came to a dwelling or they came to a building. It was customary that they would be offered a basin of water to wash and clean their feet before they came inside. Now that served somewhat to refresh the traveler, but primarily it served to clean their feet to help keep the inside of the dwelling place clean. And generally those that had servants, it was assigned unto the youngest children, the slave children, to be the ones to prepare the basin and also to kneel down and to take those shoes off and to wash the feet of those visitors. That's one of the reasons why the imagery of Jesus in the upper room at the Last Supper, the idea that supper being ended, as John also tells us, John the Apostle records for us, he says in the 13th chapter, that supper being ended, Jesus arose and he girded himself with a towel and took a basin of water and he began to go from disciple to disciple washing their feet. And then at the conclusion of it, he says, if I being your master have done this thing, so ought ye also to do one to another. And that is, never refuse, never be so high and mighty, never be so proud or so full of whatever, that you're not willing to bow down and do the lowest service, the kindest service, the most menial service to anybody else, particularly your brothers and sisters. And so as John is saying that, he's saying, I am so unfit as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, I'm not even worthy to bow down and loosen the latchet of his shoes. I am not even as worthy as the lowest of the slave servant children to serve my Lord. And yet he was highly esteemed. And John was revered, and John was feared, and John was loved. And all the while, John the Baptist had one laser focus, and that was, there is one that comes after me who is preferred before me. There's one who comes, a latchet of whose shoes I'm not even worthy to loosen. There's one that comes after me while I baptize you with water that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The one that comes after me is the Lamb of God that shall take away the sin of the world. On over in the third chapter, John has a little more to say about Jesus, beginning in verse 22. In John 3:22, after these sayings, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John the Baptist also was baptizing at Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now that's the testimony of John the Baptist. Jesus now is beginning to ascend in his public ministry. And you've heard this expression before. You've probably heard some of the older preachers talk about it. He must increase and I must decrease. That's John the Baptist speaking. And John said, yes, I was here first. Yes, I've been baptizing with water. You see, those that are coming to him, notice again, it says in verse 25, there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. There arose a question about the baptism. And they were baiting John. And they wanted John to be jealous. John, you here in the Jordan River baptizing that fellow Jesus, the one you witnessed about, that you said you saw the Spirit descending on him and all that stuff. You can't undo the latchet of his shoes, and he's preferred before you and all that. Well, you were here first. Now, he and his disciples are just down the river down there, and they've got a bigger crowd than you do. And now he's getting all the attention. And John's answer, he says very plainly in verse 29, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. And isn't that beautiful? And who is the bride of Christ except those for whom he came to take away the sins? The church, the beloved of God. The bridegroom is prepared and ready to do something for the bride that John the Baptist can't do. And he said, the one that has the bride is the bridegroom. And he says, the friend of the bridegroom stands and hears the bridegroom's voice. And he rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And he said, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John the Baptist is rejoicing that Christ has come into his public display and has come into the ministry. He knows that salvation and redemption is nigh. And John is rejoicing in it. And they're baiting him to make him jealous, and he refuses. And his answer is, he must increase, but I must decrease. What a remarkable servant of God John the Baptist was. You know, Jesus repeatedly tells us, especially in the Gospel of John, Jesus repeatedly says, I came to do the will of him that sent me. I came to do the will of my Father. Over and over again, he says plainly, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, the will of my Father, the will of God the Father. And here is John the Baptist, and a mirror image of it is laser focused. And all he sees in this with Jesus is that the Messiah is come, and Christ is in his field of labors. Christ is working steadfastly towards that active redemption. And John the Baptist said, I'm not jealous. I'm rejoicing. John the Baptist knew more about the significance of that moment and time than anybody else. He understood more fully and had a greater grasp on the necessity of Christ, of Jesus as the Christ, and Jesus again increasing and ascending and ultimately dying at Jerusalem. That John the Baptist won't live to see that. John the Baptist dies a young man when he is beheaded by Philip Herod. But John the Baptist said, I hear the voice of the bridegroom, and as a friend of the bridegroom, I rejoice. I'm not jealous that he has the bride. I rejoice that the bride has her bridegroom. That the Lamb of God that is sent to take away the sin of the world is in his house. And he is going about his work. I rejoice greatly. He that comes from above is above all. He that is from the earth is earthly. Look with me, if you will, over in John chapter 10. One other remarkable thing about John the Baptist there in verse 39. The scripture says, therefore they sought again to take him, that is Jesus. But Jesus escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John the Baptist at first baptized. And there Jesus abode. And many resorted unto him and said, now think about this. John, that is John the Baptist, did no miracles. Let that thing sink in for a moment. John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. He was a powerful preacher. And Zacharias himself said, he shall be called a prophet of the Most High. And he was focused on drawing all the attention to Jesus. And he preached the kingdom of God being present. And he preached the gospel of Christ. And he preached the baptism of repentance. And he preached so much that you and I would be perfectly familiar with as he was making ready the way of Christ. But John did no miracles. They asked him, are you Christ? Nope. John had elaborated on it. He told him, I can't turn that water into wine. That lame and halt man I just baptized, I can't heal him and make him walk again. That little infant they just brought to me that is sick of the palsy, that wanted to be baptized, I can't heal that child. I can't raise the dead. You ask me, am I Elijah? No. Elijah did great miracles. Elijah's successor, Elias, was the one in the very place at Jericho where John the Baptist baptized. That's the very place that Elias made the iron swim when the axe head came off and fell into the Jordan River. And Elias cast the herbs upon the water, and it says the iron did swim. John said, I can't do that. But then notice, John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of Jesus Christ were true. And the scripture says in verse 42 that many believed on him there. John did no miracles. But everything that John said about Jesus was true. And it said many people believed on Jesus at that place. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God twice. There in verse 29 and then again in verse 36. In verse 34, in between, he said, he's the Son of God. Now the only other place where the term and title Lamb of God is used is in the book of Revelation. It's not used anywhere else in the Bible. And so the Apostle John, as he wrote the Gospel, is quoting and telling us about the life and the ministry of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is the one that called Jesus the Lamb of God. And then when John the Apostle wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, wrote the book of Revelation, he used John the Baptist's phrase repeatedly. And that's where he refers to him as the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. John did no miracle, but everything he ever said about Jesus was true. I hope that he would be an example to us, an example of faith as well as an example of courage, and that we would bear in mind and take to heart that we really, and I guess John the Baptist was with us, he's part of the bride too. But isn't that in all of his, he never sought the popularity, he never sought the spotlight, even though it came to him, it was repeatedly shined upon him. in the midst of all of it, he says, "He that has the bride is the bridegroom. And the friend of the bridegroom rejoices when he hears his voice." And he closes it out saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So it is remarkable that our beloved brother had one focus and one focus only, and that was Jesus Christ was to be exalted. And even at his own expense. Now then imagine that Christ went to the cross, the bridegroom died for his bride. He did what John the Baptist couldn't do. And John the Baptist was martyred. Philip ordered his head cut off only because John was telling the truth. I pray God to strengthen you, re-encourage you, reinvigorate your faith and belief in the truth. There is such a thing. And I pray that God will bless you. And I thank God that He's given us an example such as He has. So His testimony of Him, John the Baptist's testimony of Jesus, we are told, was always true and faithful. And pray God to bless you to rejoice in that.